You're on a GLP-1, but now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. Get access to trusted experts, food plans that work with your body, and habit coaching to keep you on track. Plus access to GLP-1 medication. Get started at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
Hi, Bill Kristol here, joined by my colleague Sam Stein at 9 a.m. Sunday morning to discuss last night's rather shocking events at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Sam, thanks for joining me. And thoughts?
Well, you know, it was not expected. It was definitely surreal. I was not there. I was planning on going to the Substack. There's a counterparty that Substack was hosting. And then after that, I was planning on attending a few events. So I was in a tuxedo kind of downtown DC in the DuPont area. And then I got a bunch of texts from people being like, "Are you okay?" We're trying to unpack basically what happened here. I mean, I know some basic facts, obviously. And it's really tough to sort of jump to conclusions, which is of course what everyone's doing online, about it. But, I guess sort of top end takeaways is one, I'm incredibly grateful that everyone is okay. Right. I mean, it could have been a real, like I said last night when I was doing this, I don't think people appreciate just how jam-packed that ballroom is. It's like 2,000 people in a cavernous room, but they're on top of each other. It's like hard to navigate through it. And there's dignitaries and top officials filtered throughout the room. They're everywhere. So had this person managed to get through, it could have been an incredible calamity, and thank God that didn't happen. And then two, I'm sort of trying to figure out myself what exactly transpired with respect to the security situation. I mean, you've been there, obviously. I assume you've been there, Bill. I shouldn't assume. But it's a fairly well-guarded event, as I've been there multiple times, and you have to go through multiple checkpoints usually. And the final screening is the metal detectors at the bottom floor. You go down an escalator, but there are checkpoints where you show your ticket and everything prior to then. Presumably they have some security. Now, my first interpretation was this is like a fairly remarkable security lapse that he got down what appears to be the level in the basement right outside the doors to the ballroom. And according to the video of the security footage, he did a mad dash and they shot him. Now I'm sort of wondering if this was not as bad as my initial instincts were. I can't figure it out. It is still remarkable to me that he got to that level.
Yeah, well, first of all, obviously, I join you in gratitude that no one was hurt, and admiration for the law enforcement officials. And yeah, it's a terrible thing to even the attempt is terrible. Right. We're grateful it didn't result in casualties, obviously. You know, I've been at many of these, though it's been a while since I stopped going a while ago. So I've been at that hotel a zillion times, as we all have, a big hotel right in D.C. where President Reagan was shot in 1981, coming out of an event, actually. I would say this, it is a hotel, so it's a little hard. I mean, they're pretty good at, they do secure the ballroom in a very serious way, and that's what stopped anything from happening, so that was good. Pretty hard, they do, I can't remember, they check your tickets even coming in the door? I don't really recall that because,
they
you know,
do.
They're, okay, but there are hotel guests. I mean,
he was a guest.
Yeah, at its functioning hotel, yeah. And I don't even, the restaurant upstairs, for all I know, is open. I don't know, you know, it's they don't close down the whole hotel. One of the nice things about Washington, I would say, this could change, obviously, or has changed a bit over the years, and it'll change more, is we have the president, we have, as you say, especially at this dinner, a ton of dignitaries, but there are many, there are other such dinners with huge numbers of important people, you know, other clubs, Gridiron, and then just embassy events. And one of the nice things about Washington is it's pretty good at maintaining normal functioning, so you can be going out to dinner somewhere, and, you know, 50 yards away, there's a very important event, and the Secret Service has gotten pretty good at protecting the people they're supposed to protect and not shutting down huge chunks of the city. And that's certainly, they've tried to keep that even for this dinner, which is probably one of the biggest such things that they have to deal with. And so I don't know. We'll see what happens. There'll be after action reports. I totally agree with you. No one should jump to conclusions. I don't know that they actually shot the guy. It seems like he's not hurt. And so They certainly stopped him, though, which is good. And stopping him without shooting him, I suppose, is better. So, I mean, anyone shouldn't complain about that, or that's not a failure. But anyway, it's
can I make a point on what you just said about sort of the ways in which professional Washington and, you know, normal Washington kind of commingle? With respect to this dinner, and I tried to outline it last night, but I think one thing I left out about it is, again, I'm going to do this without visuals, so bear with me, but the hotel is on a cross street of Connecticut Avenue and T, okay? And it's right in the corner. And the main entrance is on Connecticut Avenue. There's a big roundabout you can drive in, and you can get dropped off. But there is the other entrance on T Street, which is on the side, which happens to be a floor below. Put aside T Street for a second. On the Connecticut Avenue entrance, you can walk in on the front door, and you're in the lobby of the hotel. And back in the Obama era, when there was always like a lot of Hollywood people who were coming to this dinner, a lot of people who were staying at the hotel would be waiting right in the lobby, not like held back by much, if anything, maybe some rope. And they would just be clamoring to take pictures or shake hands or anything like that. And the reason I bring this up is this guy, Cole Allen, the suspect, booked a hotel, according to the police, in April and had a room there. And there, as far as I can tell, again, I wasn't there last night, but there's nothing that could have stopped him from just waiting in the lobby, basically, as people walked in through that main entrance on Connecticut Avenue to get to what were the pre-parties, which are on that floor and on the T Street floor. There is a real intermingling of just average Joe citizen who happens to be at the hotel or who booked the hotel because they wanted to get a fresh look at these people, and, you know, Washington dignitaries who enter in through those entrances. Now, I don't know who, I wasn't getting there last night. I don't know who entered through what entrance. Obviously, the vice president, the president, they don't go in that way. They have better protocols, but it's not uncommon for cabinet officials to be going through either the T Street or the Connecticut Avenue entrance, where on the T Street side, at least, there is usually a sort of a, what do they call those things where they have photo shoots, red carpet type thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there plenty of times where there's been cabinet officials mingling about. So it's, maybe they have to rethink this whole thing. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you really don't want to live in a country where cabinet officials are like, you know, are under presidential level protection. No, I mean, I worked for in the White House and I worked for the vice president. We went in through a million back entrances and generally would not enter an event like this through the public entrance. But when I worked for a cabinet secretary, of course we did. And I don't mean to minimize threats. And of course, if there are particular threats, people should take precautions if there's
Well, I would just say Todd Blanche was on the shows this morning, just to add a note. We got very little so far, but he did say that this guy, Cole Allen, the alleged shooter, was looking to target members of the administration. He didn't say the president specifically, he said members of the administration. So just that.
No, look at if they have, and maybe they should rethink, or maybe at least for a while rethink, or certainly when they're all together in one place, it's one thing. But you know, you and I have been at a million events where cabinet secretaries, important ones, speak. And there's no, I mean, they have their own security detail, and there's a little bit of they alert the Washington Metropolitan Police. And there's some, sometimes, there's not usually a magnetometer, but there's usually some, you know, some security. But I mean, these people are out and about speaking as they should be in a democracy, not just in Washington, incidentally, all around the country. So I think some of it's just unavoidable. Yeah, we'll learn much more how what firearms he had. Was it a shotgun, we think? And
there's mixed reports about this. I saw a shotgun. I saw our old pal Mark Caputo was saying it was a rifle. I'll pull up the tweet while you talk.
It doesn't sound like there was a shotgun shot, but I don't know. I wasn't there. As I say, I stopped going to these dinners quite a while ago. So anyway, no point speculating. I mean, that part, law enforcement will do its job, and they got him. Obviously, it's good that they have him. It's good that they have him uninjured. They can interrogate him and in an appropriate way, and obviously we'll all learn much more about him, I suppose, over the next day or so. So
that, let's talk a tiny bit about. So just getting Caputo says, according to his reporting, the accused assassin had a shotgun, not a rifle, as others had reported. In terms of this guy, I mean, again, without getting too much into it, this guy appears to be 30, 31 years old, and he was from California. It looks like he was relatively academically accomplished. I don't know if you saw some of his background.
Yeah.
Working in education, you know, not...
But I think the education thing is a little fast. I mean, so he, right. He went to Caltech, and he obviously has some scientific knowledge, and so to speak, and seemed to have developed some game that where he was very successful. The original reports, which I've got to say, some people made a big deal of online, teacher of the year, made it sound like he was a public school teacher somewhere who'd been right. honored. He seems to be teaching in some, and I don't mean to minimize this, that's fine, so, but in some like tutoring,
Kaplan,
like a SAT prep kind of thing or whatever. Perfectly adequate way to make a living and all that, but it's not quite that he's, you know, not vetted as a teacher and not anyway. So the teacher, he's a teacher of year from this company, you know. So, who knows whether he was happy unhappy. It's frustrated.
We don't know. I mean, he's a Caltech grad. Yeah, he's a Caltech grad who ended up in some sort of Kaplan like service. So infer what you want.
Right.
He then took a train all the way across the country, according to Blanche, from LA through Chicago to DC. That's one way to travel. It does suggest, I don't know, you can make actually, I'm
not, who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Like trains. So I took that train once. Some people like trains, you know?
I don't know. It's quite a long way.
He certainly wanted to come. I mean, certainly it wasn't the last thought he had.
It was
right?
obviously premeditated, but I mean, he booked the hotel room, right? Like when we were initially getting this stuff last night, you know, it was obviously a rush to figure out who was responsible for it and what the motivation was. And, you know, my initial instinct was, you know, someone had, you know, managed to sneak in somehow with a gun, obviously. And then, but I had presumed that it was someone who was, you know, just like in and about, a crazy man around town. And then it became clear from the Washington Police Department that he had booked the hotel room. And that obviously suggests strongly some planning went into this, that they went about and got a room, which I'm a little bit surprised that they were able to do in April for this. And obviously then he went all the way across country, took the train, he didn't take the plane, which did he bring his gun with him on the train? I don't know. Well, maybe those are some questions.
Well, maybe that's why he took the train, right?
Yeah.
I mean, check you. I don't think usually at the Amtrak.
Well,
not when I've been on the various trains.
I think you're allowed to bring guns on Amtrak now too, right? So yeah.
Are you actually allowed to? But anyway, they don't look, you know, in your luggage, I don't think.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is I think, I don't know, people said last night, I don't blame anyone for saying anything. You know, the president was good. It was fine in his press conference, pretty responsible, but it's a lone wolf. We don't know. Actually, this is what the FBI is looking into and local police. We don't know. I mean, I don't mean to be in any way a conspiracy monger. I hope that he was a lone wolf. I suspect he was, but we don't know if he had friends. They'll certainly be interrogating all of his friends in social circles. Was anyone else know about this? I mean, did anyone have a hint of this? Did anyone, you know, help encourage him to do it? So that'll be a big focus today. It feels like a lone wolf, but that doesn't mean that he, you know, one of the first things you have to look at in all these cases, in any normal assault, not just with the president's there, is, you know, did other people...
Well, your question is the right one. Did anyone know about that? Even if he wasn't acting with the help of anyone else, like, it takes some sort of planning, preparation to get a shotgun, go across the country, book your hotel room. I mean, if he had any sort of social friends or inner, you know, family members, and he explained to them, hey, I'm going to DC in April to do this. Like, did they say, well, why are you doing that? And did anyone have any indication? So
they'll look into that today.
You're on a GLP-1, but now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. Get access to trusted experts, food plans that work with your body, and habit coaching to keep you on track. Plus access to GLP-1 medication. Get started at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
Let's spend one more minute on the president's main point that he reiterated this morning in a Truth Social post, but he made it last night as well, was this makes the case for the ballroom, the secure ballroom on the White House grounds that will seat 2,000 people and will be totally secure and all that. I have a thought or two about that, but do you want to say a word?
Yeah. This was like within 20 to 30 minutes of news of this breaking. You just started seeing a deluge of tweets from MAGA Council. You know, this is the ballroom. They got to approve the ballroom. It has to be the ballroom. I can't believe they aren't doing the ballroom. And like, first of all, there's no indication this dinner would be in the ballroom.
That's the key point. If I could just say, can I interrupt? Yeah. And just make some, I'm so struck by this, having been at this dinner, having been at many, honestly, events over the decades, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not a White House event. It's a correspondence event. Now, the president is a guest. Now, having said that, when a president is a guest at an event, if he came to your house for dinner or if he came to a 2,000-person dinner, there'll be different protocols. The Social Security will come and check it out ahead of time. I've been at such things. You know, I mean, it's obviously treated differently from a, you know, come over to my house for dinner, Sam, kind of thing. Having said that, the president's assumption and all the pro ballroom people's assumption is that every major event that the president involved in will be held at the White House ballroom. So think about that for a minute. That's a White House event. The White House controls it. And the ballroom would put us on a slippery slope to having the president only hosting events, if I can put it this way, not being a guest at events. Now, does that seem pedantic? Maybe a little bit, but it sort of changes the character of things, right? When the president right now or the vice president goes to an event that's around the country or in DC, it's hosted by someone, he's the guest, there's better security, but he's speaking. Well, there you go. Look at that. Cute. He's speaking to...
He's a fan of the ballroom.
Yeah, he's annoyed.
He's a big ballroom guy.
Oh, God. Yeah, no.
Hey, buddy.
Anyway, not to overdo the ballroom stuff. Yeah, what are you locking that kid in there, Sam? Jeez, you know. Cute. That was good. That was a good fit, a good breaking the solemnity here. No, but not to overthink this. I just want to make the point that I think you don't want to go down a path, or at least we want us to have a discussion before going down the path that the president of the United States is going to basically only do big events that he hosts.
Yeah, I don't think it's a pedantic point at all. First of all, Trump didn't go to this event for many years. He refused to go to the event. Like in the future, what would happen if the event had to be at the ballroom and he's like, I don't want to go. I mean, are they going to not do the event? Secondly, I think it's more than symbolic that this is the White House Correspondents Association. It's their event. They choose where it is, and he is a guest. And that is the point of the relationship, is that even though it's a celebration of the press and it is meant to sort of, you know, roast and toast, I guess, the people in the industry, it fundamentally is about a relationship that is, they are there to scrutinize you, and you're not hosting them. That is the balance of the relationship. The ballroom thing is just, I'm with you. I'm struck by how much it kind of shifts the balance of power. I think you raise a very good point. Would he be able to control the guest list and decide who came and who didn't? And then on top of that, you know, obviously this is like his biggest passion project right now. And he seems to be totally enamored with building this ballroom. And I didn't find it like particularly, it wasn't all that offensive, but there was something uncomfortable with how quickly every MAGA account and he himself shifted to, well, now we have to build my big sort of crowning ballroom. And this is obviously what has to happen now. There is a sort of, I'm trying to choose my words carefully here, because it's not the same as people who are rushing to like cast motivations on the shooter, but there was an opportunism to what they were doing.
And it does bring home the premise, at least his premise. Maybe the ballroom would be rented out and they wouldn't control the guest. They can't do that. It's at the White House. So they would have to control the guest list. Now, look, the Secret Service, even if it's at the Hilton, takes a look at the guest list and might say, hey, this guy is snuck on here and he's a criminal. I mean, seriously, that happens. Or this guy's too much of a risk. He shouldn't. We don't want him at this dinner. That's very different still from... I've been to White House events with the president, and I've been to events outside the White House. It's a totally different feel. What is, I mean, as it should be, the president is the host of a White House event. He, in theory, he or his staff arrange the speakers, they arrange.
Yeah, if it's a state dinner, he hosts.
Yeah, or even an informal dinner, or the governor's, it is striking when you think about it, how many of the events now are at Mar-a-Lago, the events that used to be random places, the House Republicans would have a retreat in, I don't know, Williamsburg or something, and the president would helicopter in and give some remarks. Now it's
about Now it's at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. Now the G20, and so I think there's a kind of imperial character to the ballroom that goes way beyond what might otherwise be a normal, let's have more entertaining space at the White House for the normal dinners that a president is entitled to have at the White House. And I think that in a way, this immediate reaction to say this should have been in the ballroom does show how the kind of imperial underside, if I could put it that way, to the to the attempt to build this ballroom. So,
well, should we put up his post this morning? Because he did reference it in the post.
Yeah. So this is not last night. His immediate reaction.
This morning.
This is this morning. I get 8:45 a.m. just before we came on here, and people could read it. We don't need to read the whole thing, but on the grounds of the White House. I mean, if it's on the grounds of the White House, it cannot be the same kind of event. I'll just put it this way: as if dignitaries are going to events elsewhere, and there can be lots of security at the events elsewhere, but it's just not the same as a White House event. And I think that distinction is important to make. And what Trump seems to be indicating is that, you know, sort of every event in D.C. at which he would be, every large event at least, in which he'd be a participant, would be on the grounds of the White House. I don't think that's a good thing.
No. And also the other way to look at it, and we could take the thing off. there's some, you know, presidents do benefit from getting out of the White House. They do. Whether it's, you know, on the campaign trail talking to voters, but even that's sort of shielded and guarded, but actually like going out, having a dinner, you know, trying to be among other people that maybe aren't like their best friends or sycophants or cabinet members. And Trump has been, I think, one of the least, not accessible, but he's gone out about as little as a president has in Washington, D.C. I think there's been maybe one case this entire term where he's eaten somewhere other than the White House or a property he owns. And that was Joe's Crab or whatever it is. And a Code Pink protester showed up and that was that. He wasn't going to do that again. So, you know, the fact that he actually went to this White House Correspondents' Dinner was a remarkable thing because he doesn't do it. And then this happens. And now he's just going to, you know, hunker down a little bit more, I suppose, and everything has to be in the White House now. And look, I we're still trying to figure out what transpired here. How did this breach happen? How endangered was the president? Was Cole Allen or whoever, the alleged shooter, Cole Allen, was he actually targeting the president? But it would be unfortunate if the reaction to this is that we just don't do events outside the White House. That would be an unfortunate side effect, in my opinion.
No, I very much agree with that. Should we leave it there? And I'm going to be
back. Should I get my kid back? Get his last thoughts on this? Or
I myself would welcome them, but I don't know. Maybe we should leave him alone. Is he getting ready for some Sunday sports activity?
Is he getting ready? Yeah, man, I'm coaching that team too. We're going to go kick some butt.
The kids are always more reasonable than the coaches, and the kids are more relaxed. The coaches.
I'm amazed you're not preparing.
I'm amazed you took 20 minutes off to do this. You're not preparing.
I prepped last night. I looked through the analytics. We were going real small ball today, and I bought a good amount of gummy bears so that they can be motivated properly.
Sam, thanks for taking the time to do this. I'll be back actually at noon. I'll give a little update if we know anything new, frankly, on this. But mostly it's a normal, so to speak, bulwark on Sunday with Tom Jostlin to talk about other issues. But Sam, thanks for taking the time. And thank you all for joining us this morning.